Okay, guys, this is the video a lot of people have been asking for. I'm going to do my best to tell you what I know about the fire, what I've been told about the fire in Maui, and I'm going to show a lot of unreleased footage. This first clip is the best I could do of a before and after side by side. Now, on the right side, you're going to see Google Street View, but it's 14 years old. And then on the left side, you'll see me walking through this neighborhood immediately after the fire. Now, I couldn't get back in here after I shot my initial footage. So obviously, with Google Street View, it's going to be a series of 360-degree photos. I had to do a lot of editing. There was a lot of dead animals in this initial clip. And so this is all unreleased. But let's talk about what I know about the fire and why it's taken some time to put this together. Now, it's awkward to make this video because my most watched best content about the Maui fire has been pulled down on some platforms for unspecified community standards violations, which I truly don't understand. I tried to appeal it. The video I'm talking about is simply things that did not burn during the Maui fire. And I went through hours of footage and I found things that survived the fire and kind of stood out. The umbrellas were one of them, but there was a bunch of others. And so I'll say this again, I've said this in previous videos, but please go find me and follow me on other platforms because these videos still exist on some of them. I'm on TikTok, YouTube, X, and Rumble. So I don't know exactly how the independent fact checkers determine these things when I'm just showing the footage that I took on the ground and saying what I know about it. I don't know how that violates any community standards and you're not given an explanation of it. So for this video, I really don't want it to be pulled down. So I am going to keep this very objective. I'm going to give you both sides to the story and let you guys decide what you want to think. So let's wrap up the side-by-side. I mean, you can see it just looks like a nuclear bomb went off. I mean, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. Total decimation, totally flattened the city for miles. Now, I want to show you on the map what neighborhoods burned and what neighborhoods survived. So on the left side here, you see Kaanapali Hillside. And then on the right side, you'll see Laniapoko. These are both affluent neighborhoods, multi-million dollar houses. Here, you see the Safeway Shopping Center and then a bunch of commercial buildings above it. All of these areas survived. And the interesting thing about that is the less affluent neighborhoods around them burned. And that wasn't all just one area. It sort of skipped over areas and everything burned around the Safeway and the commercial buildings and everything burned next to Laniapoko and next to Kaanapali Hillside for the most part. Now, this is one of the few pockets that survived. This is Lahaina Luna after the fire. But this is a good representation of what a lot of the neighborhoods were like prior to the fire, a lot of the neighborhoods that burned. It's very densely populated. There are some of these houses, they'll have 15 or 20 people living in them. It's just a small residential house. Some people will be in the garage. You'll see many, many vehicles. You'll see things piled up on the lawn. So this is, I've been through all these neighborhoods before the fire. Unfortunately, I didn't take any footage of them because I didn't have any reason to, but this is more or less what they looked like. So I think for some people, it seems almost too convenient that if you looked at all of the West Side and you looked at all of Lahaina prior to the fire and somebody said to you, hey, we want to bulldoze everywhere that's not very rich, that's not very fancy, and we want to redevelop it. That's almost exactly what the fire did, which seems quite convenient. But the other side of that would be that these neighborhoods probably had a lot of code violations. They're very, very densely populated. There's a lot of stuff going on. So fire spreading, fire burning, seems like it might be more likely in these neighborhoods than the more affluent, newer construction, metal roofs, tile roofs, what you find in the other neighborhoods. So what do I personally think about that? I don't even want to tell you because if I do, I feel like maybe my content will be pulled down. So I'll leave that up to you guys. That's the objective facts. But one opinion that I will offer as someone that has lived here and who, you know, has seen what it's really like here, you have to be here for quite a while to really understand it, is the government here is inept and incompetent beyond belief. It's unreal. And so things like this are really waiting to happen in Hawaii, in my personal opinion. So I didn't see anything before the fire that looked like a fire break, proper brush clearance, controlled burns. You know, the power lines, a lot of them are on just old wooden poles. There didn't seem to be proper clearance with the trees. And so these are things I observed before the fire. And I said to my wife, you know, when we were initially shopping for houses and things, I said, you know, if there's ever a fire, this place is it's going to be bad. And that's exactly what happened. So where do you draw the line and where do you know the difference between tyranny and ineptitude and know the difference between a bigger nefarious plan and just total stupidity? That I don't really know. I don't know what the answer is to that, but the do not underestimate the ineptitude of the government in Hawaii. Now, I do have an interview with a resident who lived in the neighborhood that burned, and he saw the fire initially spreading behind the neighborhood. Now, I can post this interview. It's a pretty lengthy interview, and I don't know that this guy really, he didn't want to show his face, and he has kind of a distinct voice, so I'll paraphrase it for right now. But basically, what he was saying is that there was large piles of material that were put there for affordable housing construction behind some of these neighborhoods. And when those caught on fire, there were 100-foot flames, and it was just dumping huge amounts of embers and things sparking that were just blowing into the neighborhoods. And there was not really any proper fencing or anything that separated these piles of construction material that were being used to construct workforce and affordable housing from the actual neighborhoods. So he felt like that was a major catalyst of spreading the fire. I don't know for sure what happened with that. I'm just telling you what I was told. And the other thing that he was speaking about is the fact that the government here is really kind of a club. There's locals that are in the club and people that are not in the club. And there's a real fear on the island from some people. I felt this way to some degree, that if you piss off the government, that you're going to have issues with permits and with various other things if you want to do anything on your property. And so that's just a feeling I got. And these are just things I'm repeating that somebody else told me. So I'm not presenting this as a fact or as in, you know, really my opinion. I'm just trying to give you guys an idea of what it's like here, why so few people want to talk about it, and how difficult it really is to determine whether all of this is just pure ineptitude or whether there's something bigger going on. I don't know the answer to that. Although I do find a lot of things exceptionally odd that are going on. So when they're rounding us up at the park, giving us special permission slips to be able to come back to our house and controlling the population in ways that I found to be very bizarre. And I think everybody that saw my videos of it agreed with that.
If you got an orange card, right? You put your name, you put your address.
I also found it very odd the amount of emphasis they were putting on keeping people out, making a media-free zone, making it so you couldn't document anything. The amount of this black fencing that was going up, I know there was a firefighter who criticized me saying, oh, this is just a dust fence and that's all it's used for. But you can see on this side-by-side video here, nothing burned behind this fence. They are just obstructing the entire shopping center by the Safeway. And so I don't see how that could be for dust control. I don't see what the why it would be necessary to have the National Guard not let you stop and look anywhere on the side of the road, not fly any drones. I don't know why it would be necessary to have these special police out harassing anybody that stopped on the side of the bypass. And I also find the bypass itself to be a little bit odd because they only just recently completed the road that is now the only way in, the only way out. And the old way that you used to go here is totally shut down and you can't go through there. So you've got to go on this new road that they just finished, which also seems very convenient. I don't know what conclusions to draw from any of this. I'm just showing you guys what I've seen, telling you what I know, and letting the chips fall where they may. Now, this is not the only footage I have. I have much more footage that is still unreleased. I have a lot more to say about this. Unfortunately, my personal life has been a little bit chaotic since I've gotten back on the mainland. I don't really have a huge amount of time to devote to this. This is just kind of a side thing that I do sometimes. But this is the first time I've used all 10 minutes on TikTok. So as an added bonus for you guys, I will show you a picture I accidentally took of Oprah standing next to a half-naked man.